Well, amen. Thank you, ladies, and thank you, Mr. Substitute Song Leader. And I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11. Hebrews is in the New Testament, towards the back. If you get to Revelation, turn back to your left a little ways, and you'll find Hebrews in there. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And we'll read through verse 10 or so. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went, or not knowing where he was going. And by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It's all about pleasing God by a life of faith. Pleasing God. We can do that. You can do that. You can please your God by a life of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our time in the Word this morning. Speak to our hearts and reveal yourself to us as the good, gracious, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-loving, all-caring God who cares for our souls, who loves us with an everlasting love, and who is coming again in great power and glory and will receive us to himself. Bless our time now. May we be encouraged. May we even be excited about the privilege of opening up our Bible this morning and reading the words of eternal life, the very words that come from the heart of God, from the throne of God, from heaven itself. Bless, Lord. We give our time to you now, praying in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this week, let me tell you what I did. I worried. I fretted. I griped. I complained. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. She's up here saying amen every time. Amen. I fretted. I worried. I griped. I complained. I envied. And that was during my morning devotions. And I didn't pray. And I didn't study. But I guess I had my quiet time, didn't I? But my mind wasn't very quiet. One of the themes of the book of Hebrews is the warning for us to press on. We are to press on, go on, and not neglect so great a salvation. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, or we should drift away, some translate it. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, or a just penalty, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Look at chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I don't want to come short of entering into his rest. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, when the word comes, it needs to be mixed with faith. I need to exercise faith in the word. I just need to believe what God says. Believe what God tells me and act upon it. And I can do that. I am able to do that. I'm able to believe. I believe a lot of things. Unless it comes out of Washington. But how much more ought we to believe the word of God? And then chapter 5, verse 12. Chapter 5, verse 12. For when from the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which become the first principles, or the ABCs of the oracles of God, and are become such as need milk and not strong meat. In other words, you're not growing, you're not maturing. You need to be model fed like babies. And when you ought to be able to, you ought to be chewing strong meat. Don't neglect so great a salvation. Neglect means fail to care for properly. Don't fail to care for so great a salvation properly. And the consequence of disobedience is stated again and again. And we say, who is sufficient? Who can get the victory? Is there anyone? Is there any hope? We'll look in chapter 10. And verse 35, and I want to say a resounding yes, there is hope. Chapter 10, verse 35 to 39. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. You don't have to cast it away. You don't have to walk away from it. Don't cast it away, which hath a great reward, great recompense and reward, a great reward. For you have need of patience, and after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. I always love that verse. He that shall come, will come. He that shall come is going to come. He that promises to come, will come, and he won't delay. He won't tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You are of them. You and I are of them that believe. What do we believe? We believe to the saving of the soul. Verse 39. And we can jump from here, clear over to chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run. So we can jump from chapter 10 to chapter 12, but we need to hear more about this faith that he's talking about. And so chapter 11 is there to give us examples of men and women of faith to encourage us. When I hear about how someone is walking with the Lord or how they're doing in their relationship with the Lord, I listen up. I want to hear about it because that encourages me. That helps me. Well, if he can do that, she can do that, then I can do that too. If they can read their Bible every day and pray and have morning devotions, well, I can do that. I can do that. I'm able. You know, in other words, there's examples that encourage us. And so he gives in chapter 11 examples to encourage us, men and women like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. And none of these people were perfect. They were far, far from it. But they had the victory. They served the Lord. They pressed on in the face of opposition. They experienced victory in battle, the victory of faith. And so we need to be living a life of faith like they did. It's all about pleasing God with a life of faith. Faith living, we can call it faith living. First of all, the description of faith. Let's talk about faith. I want to look at the description of faith, examples of faith, and the reward of faith. And we'll look at those. Number one, description of faith. What it is. Well, faith, in chapter 11, verse 1, he tells us what it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith gives substance to what we hope for. Faith makes it reality. You see? Because it's real. Jesus is coming again. God will reward his servants. God will bless you and me. And faith takes hold of that and makes it real. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith gives substance to what we hope for. It makes it real. It's a true hope. But just simply hoping for something, like, well, I hope this happens, kind of like wishful thinking, that's not faith. You know, I hope my team is going to win. And even though they're 0-9 so far this year, boy, I think they're going to pull it out this next game, right? And say, well, it's going to rain. Well, I hope so. The weather says there's a 0% chance, but I'm still hoping that it's going to rain. Or we say, you know, KU is going to win the Big 12 championship in football. Well, some people hope so, but that's silly. That's silly to hope that's going to happen, isn't it? No. Anyway, we hope so. We hope conservatives get the victory in the next election, right? As Christians, we hope that usually. But hoping for something is not yet faith. Faith says, I have it. Faith takes hold of it. And it's as if it already happened. That's faith. When Noah entered into the ark, he never looked up in the sky and wondered if he was going to be made a fool. He said to his family, get your life jackets on. And I don't know, Noah might have had life jackets ready. He said, let's get aboard, get your life jackets on. It's going to rain, going to be street flooding today. He didn't get in the ark. They didn't even know what rain was, most likely, back then. It never rained until that day. By faith, again, in our passage in verse 7 of chapter 11, by faith, faith gave substance. Faith was the evidence. You know, God called me to preach many years ago. I'm trying to think when. I guess in 1974. I think that's when I got saved. God called me to preach. Explain that, preacher. I cannot explain it. Nobody that's been called to preach can explain the call to preach. You just know it. God just put it in my heart. That's all I can think about. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing. I just know I got to preach. I got to preach. I never preached before. I never hardly even been to church before. I never went to church up until I was about, I went to church in junior high. All through high school, I never went to church unless it was for a funeral. I never read my Bible. I didn't know where Matthew, Mark, and Luke was. Somebody had to show me the first time I read a Bible. I hardly knew anything. But I had faith in the Word, faith in His call, the promise of God. That gave me the evidence. And again, it wasn't me, it was all God, because I was such a fool. God called Peter and Andrew and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And in Matthew 4:19, and they straightway left their nets and they followed him. Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, follow me. They threw their nets down and they followed. Did they understand? No. No, did they know what was ahead? No. They just knew him whom they were following. Faith follows. Faith will take a man and a woman to a place they've never been before, to a people they've never heard of, to win a lost soul to heaven with nothing but the promise of God. But that's all faith needs. That's all you need. Just the promise of God. And the promise of God will get you out of your comfort zone, right? We say that. Well, I need to get out of my comfort zone. Well, that's true, probably. We need temerity. Say, what's temerity? I didn't know either. I'd heard that word, and I looked it up. Temerity, T-E-M-E-R-I-T-Y, means boldness, confidence, audacity. You and I need confidence, boldness. We need some audacity. Why? He has the audacity to do that. You better believe it. You and I ought to have the audacity to follow God and do what God tells us to do no matter what. Nothing is more dangerous and more paralyzing than second-guessing God. Well, I don't know. I don't know about this call. And I know I went through that. I thought, God, you're calling me to preach. Are you sure? To Bible college? Where, Lord? Well, God led us, but there were second thoughts and second guessing and the putting feeling before faith. But we need to trust God. Step out with some confidence rather than put feeling before faith or human reasoning before faith. And then the feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Like from the Oklahoma musical, oh, what a beautiful morning, oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling, everything's going my way. Oh, really? Everything may not be going your way. In fact, most likely it is not going your way. But everything's going God's way. We can count on that. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart, he calls it. Chapter 3 of Hebrews. Chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, lest there be an evil heart of unbelief. Also verse 19. So we see the Israelites cannot enter into the land because of unbelief. And chapter 4, verse 2, the word not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Does the word preach, profit you? If it doesn't, why not? You say, well, you're a lousy preacher. Well, I'll agree to that, but it's not a lousy word, is it? It's the word that matters. Does the word preach, profit you? Not if you stubbornly resist the Holy Spirit. Not if you fail to appropriate, make it part of you. Live it out. Walk the walk, right? Faith, taking God at His word and living lives accordingly. That's pleasing God by a life of faith. I'm not always going to know how things will work out, but I know Him who works things out. That's all I need to know. Faith is the evidence. Faith gives evidence to things not seen. Things unseen and spiritual are visible. We see them with the eye of faith. When I see something happen with my eye, it gives evidence to me. And it's such strong evidence, we're willing to go to a court of law and testify in the witness stand, yes, this is what I saw. You are a witness. You saw it with your own eyes. I know what I saw. Faith enables us to see the invisible order. Faith enables us to see. Elisha, when Elisha in the nation of Israel, Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the enemy, by the Syrians, and Elisha's servant didn't know what they were going to do, and Elisha prayed for his servant to see, and he said in 2 Kings 6:17, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And he opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and the mountain was full of horses and chariots round about Elisha. God opened his eyes, and he saw the invisible, and he saw that Elisha was surrounded by horses and chariots, even though the naked eye could not see that. Faith. Faith, not a feeling. Faith is not a hunch. Not simply optimism or sentimentality. It's not the power of positive or thinking or positive imagining, but it's faith in the sure promise of God. Faith sees the King in his beauty. Faith waits for the blessed hope. Faith anticipates the resurrection. Faith knows we will be glorified. We are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2, verse 13. Also another reference, Romans 8, 24. And 1 John 3, 23 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure. Romans 8, 24, For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? We hope in that which we don't see, because we see by the eye of faith. By faith we believe the worlds were framed by the word of God, Hebrews 11:3. We believe that, don't we? Every one of us is saying, yeah, I believe God created all things. I believe he created the mountains. And I believe he created the gnats. No, gnats and mosquitoes, they're part of the curse. That's where they came from. By faith, we believe the worlds were framed by the word of God. We believe that, but we don't believe he's going to take care of my needs. We're like that, aren't we? Oh, I believe God saves souls, but I don't think he knows my needs. He doesn't know my physical need, my need of healing, my need of finances. How am I going to pay these bills? How am I going to get along with this person? It's not going to work. I don't believe it. We don't believe he's going to take care of our needs. Well, by faith, he went out not knowing. Chapter 11. By faith, he went out not knowing. Chapter 11, verse 8. Not knowing whither he went. By faith, he went out not knowing where he was going. I think the New King James translates it. Faith simply follows. But will we? Will you go without knowing? You know, we're like, we say, I got to know, I got to have all laid out. I got to know what's ahead. I got to have a plan here. Well, sometimes God's plan is that you trust him. And he says, just trust me. Just trust me in this. Faith needs to simply follow. If you know, then you don't need faith, right? It's for when we don't know. Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading, someone said. Faith never knows where it's being led, but it knows and loves the one who is leading. It's a mistake to think that God is sure to lead us to success. Look at chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 35. His saints of old were not always successful. Now some quenched the violence of fire and escaped the edge of the sword, verse 34, and waxed valiant in fight, but others, verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others. What about the others? Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others were tortured until they died. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They weren't necessarily successful in the world's eyes. But we follow him who is success, him who is victor and conqueror. Look at John 11 with me, if you would. John 11 and verse 7. Jesus and his disciples, this is concerning the raising of Lazarus, who is dead. And John 11, 7, then after that he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Are you crazy? You're going back to Judea? They're going to kill you. The wanted posters are up everywhere for you. Well, we need to go. Jesus needed to go. He had an appointment with Lazarus. And you may not always understand, but you know nonetheless, but you obey nonetheless. We say, well, I can't do that, Lord. I just can't do that. There's no way. And I'm putting my agenda before obedience. And that's not faith. When I put my agenda, my wants, my desire before obedience. If I have to always weigh the pros and cons and doubt and debate, then it's of the flesh. It's not of faith. I need to step out. Do you need to step out? Maybe some of you need to step out by faith in that situation now, today. I need to step out where I don't see how it can be possible. Remember Peter walked on the water? Yeah, he did. How did he do that? Matthew 14, 29, when Peter came out of the boat, he walked on the water. He just got out of the boat, and he wanted to walk to Jesus, and he walked on the water by faith. Faith is not intelligent understanding. You can't usually walk on water. I've never seen anybody do it. Unless they're behind a boat going about 30 miles an hour skiing. Then you walk on water. You can slide on water. But are you debating to take a step of faith? Are you debating to take a step in faith in Christ until you can see how you can do this thing yourself? You're waiting until you see how it's all going to work out before you step out and do this thing or that, or minister to this person or that, or go to this place. Maybe God's calling you to serve him in missions. And you keep debating. You say, not me. No, that's for others. That's for those really spiritual giants. Well, there are very few missionaries that are spiritual giants. They struggle just like you and me. But they're obedient to him. We need to obey him. We need to obey him with audacity. With abandonment, abandon ourselves to him, with maybe almost a reckless joy. That's what we need to do. There's a story of when Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary, first went to China. It was in a sailing vessel, and very close to the shore of Cannibal Islands, islands where they ate people, the ship had gotten calm and it was slowly drifting shoreward, unable to go about unable to go, and the savages were eagerly anticipating their feast. And the captain said to Hudson Taylor, and he besought him to pray for the help of God. And I will, said Taylor, provided you set your sails to catch the breeze. And the captain declined to make himself a laughingstock by unfurling the sails in a dead calm. And Taylor said, I'll not undertake to pray for the vessel unless you're going to prepare the sails. And so it was done. And while engaged in prayer, there was a knock at the door of a stateroom. Who's there? And the captain's voice responded, are you still praying for wind? Yes, Hudson Taylor said. Well, said the captain, you better stop praying because we have more wind than we can manage. True story, as far as I know. And it can be true in your life and mine if we but will step out by faith, pray by faith, and many more stories. The stories of George Mueller and his orphanage. And orphanages, and how he took care of hundreds and thousands of children, all by faith, never asking anyone for any help, just prayer, just faith. And God met his need every time, and many others like that. And that can be you and me as well. They were human like you and I are. So may we go to him by faith and trust him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and your word this morning. Thank you for these examples of faith and your admonition or reminder to us that we can walk by faith. We must walk by faith. We must step out by faith and believe you. Lord, help us just to believe. We believe so many things. We believe so many people. And yet, when it comes to Jesus Christ, our Savior, we tend to not believe as we ought. We tend to hold back. And we say, not me. I can't do it. Lord, help us to know that we can if we'll walk by faith and trust you. So bless now, I pray, Lord, if there be any here who need to trust Christ as Savior by faith. By faith, give their lives to him. And say, Lord, I trust you. I believe in you. I believe you died for me. Be my Savior from sin. Come into my life and save me. Help us, Lord, to do what we ought to do, be what we ought to be, for your glory, for your honor. I pray now you'll bless as we close. In Jesus' name, amen.